listening to Full Circle Weekly News. These articles are compiled by Eric the Unready, and I'm your host, Moss Bliss. This is episode 359, covering week 12, March 18th to 24th, 2024. Fabrice Lefaissant summed up the development of the GNU COBOL compiler, which allows you to translate COBOL programs into C for subsequent compilation using GCC or other C compilers. The project has reached maturity, ready for use in industrial systems and able to compete with proprietary solutions. GNU COBOL's competitive advantages include support for 19 dialects of the COBOL language, high performance and cross-platform, allowing the toolkit to be used on Linux, BSD, macOS, Windows, Android, and many proprietary Unix-like OSs. GNU COBOL is in use by commercial companies and banks, which are transferring backends written in COBOL to GNU COBOL from the proprietary Micro Focus compiler. The transition to GNU COBOL allows increased productivity and ends lock-in to one vendor. We also note the publication of the first version of the Integrated Development Environment, SuperBOL Studio, written in the Zero Camel language and distributed under the AGPL V3, MIT, and ISC licenses. SuperBOL Studio is an extension to VS Code that works with the GNU COBOL compiler and is designed for developing, debugging, and profiling COBOL projects, and it also provides a language server protocol server implementation for integrating COBOL code navigation, parsing, and editing tools into another IDE. Microsoft has open-sourced Garnet, the NoSQL system designed for creating caching stores and compatible with existing client libraries for Redis storage. Garnet supports the creation of scalable data caching clusters that can use replication, key migration, and data sharding across cluster nodes. The project is written in C# with storage core in C++. It is opened under the MIT license and can run on all platforms supported by .NET, primarily Linux and Windows. GNOME 46 was released. To quickly evaluate the capabilities of GNOME 46, specialized live builds based on OpenSUSE and an installation image prepared as part of the GNOME OS initiative are offered. GNOME 46 is also already included in experimental builds of Ubuntu 24.04 and Fedora 40. The Wayland Protocol's 1.34 package was published, complementing the capabilities of the base Wayland Protocol and providing the capabilities necessary for building composite servers and user environments. Redis Limited has announced a change in the license for the Redis DBMS that belongs to the class of NoSQL systems. Starting with the release of Redis 7.4, the project code will be distributed under two proprietary licenses, RSALv2 Redis Source Available License Version 2 and SSPLv1 Server-Side Public License Version 1, instead of the OpenBSD license. The change of license will allow the integration of proprietary modules into the main structure of future versions of the Redis DBMS with the implementation of advanced types and data processing engines previously offered only as part of the Redis Stack product. Old releases will remain available under the previous BSD license and can be used on the basis for creating an independent fork. Red Hat has begun work on the Nova project, a new open driver for NVIDIA GPUs included in the firmware and performed by a separate GPU system processor. The new driver is designed as a module for the Linux kernel and uses the Direct Rendering Manager subsystem. The project is positioned as a continuation of the development of the Nuvo driver for GPUs with GSP firmware used starting with the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 2000 series and may replace Nuvo. The driver code is written in Rust and uses several layers to develop video drivers in this language, which have not yet been accepted into the main kernel. Among the reasons for creating a new driver is the opportunity to achieve significant simplification compared to the Nuvo driver, thanks to the use of many ready-made handlers provided by the GSP firmware. Due to the need to support older NVIDIA GPUs, the Nuvo driver code is unnecessarily complex and inflexible, and significant reworking of the code base was required to solve existing problems. In response to the change in the license for the Redis DBMS, a fork was created named Redict, which will continue to develop the codebase corresponding to the release of Redis 7.2.4, the last one under the BSD license. Redict can be used as a transparent replacement for Redis 7.2.4, but compatibility with future versions of Redis is not guaranteed. The fork was founded by Drew DeVault, the author of the Sway user environment, the Hare programming language, the ERC email client, and the SourceHut collaborative development platform. Helwyn Monier, the author of the Bad Wolf browser based on WebKit GTK and the Pleroma platform for developing federated social networks, joined work on the fork. All new changes to Redict will be now made under the LGPL v3 license. This way, the project will be able to port patches published by Redis Inc. for older versions of Redis under the BSD license, but patches and changes created for Redict under the GPL v3 license will not be able to be ported to Redis. Nintendo blocked the main Suyu project repository on GitLab a day after the publication of the first release after a complaint was sent to GitLab about the Suyu project violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act in force in the United States. An alternate repository launched on its own server using the ForgeJoe platform, a fork of Git, as well as a repository with releases on the GitLab site and continued to work. The DMCA request sent to GitLab claims that, like Yuzu, the Suyu emulator is specifically designed to bypass technical security methods, and in the process uses illegally obtained copies of cryptographic keys to decrypt games and firmware. Despite the fact that extracting keys for decrypting games falls on users and is done using third-party tools, the very fact of decryption on the emulator site is perceived by Nintendo as an illegal bypass of technical protection measures, even if the user uses keys extracted from his own purchased copy. The KDE project has recommended against installing unofficial global themes and widgets for KDE following an incident involving the deletion of all personal files from a user who installed the Gray Layout theme from the KDE store with approximately 4,000 downloads. It is believed that the incident was not caused by malicious intent, but by an error related to the unsafe use of the rm-rf command. KDE Global Themes provide the ability to use plasmoids that run arbitrary commands, which can be used to delete files, among other things. When using constructs like rm-rf $var/** in code, a situation may arise when the $var variable is uninitialized, which will lead to the actual execution of the command rm-rf/*. Previously, similar errors appeared in the initialization or installation scripts of Squid, Steam, Yandex Disk Indicator, and Bumblebee. The KDE developers intend to audit third-party themes posted to the KDE store directly to identify similar errors and also organize warnings when installing themes posted by third-party users. The first alpha version of the etcd-operator project has been published, developing tools to simplify the deployment of etcd distributed storage in a Kubernetes environment and management of etcd clusters. The toolkit can handle tasks such as mode deployment, configuration, management, scaling, and disaster recovery. The configuration is specified in YAML format. The project code is written in Go and distributed under the Apache 2.0 license. The developers of the Pale Moon browser plan to increase the CPU requirements in ready-made builds. The reason given is the desire to use AVX processor instructions to significantly speed up the browser. The change is planned for summer 2024. To use the new builds, you will need a processor that supports x86-64v2, which has been used by processors since approximately 2009, starting with AMD FX and the first-generation Intel Core i7 Nehalem. The x86-64v2 microarchitecture is distinguished by the presence of extensions such as SSE3, SSE4_2, SSSE3, PopCNT, LAHF-SAHF, and CMPXCHG16B. Over the past week, users of the Pale Moon browser have been experiencing failures when passing Cloudflare's DDoS attack protection. At some point, the problem appeared to be resolved, but it reappeared at the end of the week. A new version of Battle for Wesnoth 1.18 is available, a cross-platform turn-based fantasy strategy game that supports both single-player campaigns and multiplayer online or on a single computer. The game code is distributed under the GPLv2+ license, and game resources, including graphics and sounds, are licensed under GPLv2+ and Creative Commons BY-SA licenses. Builds are prepared for Linux, Windows, macOS, and iOS. The game is also available through Steam. The new version offers a new campaign for Drake, Winds of Fate, dedicated to seafarers and the exploration of new continents. The oldest Loyalist campaign, Eastern Invasion, has been completely redesigned. The Quenoth campaign, Under the Burning Suns, has been reworked. They updated the map King of the Hill. Graphics performance has been significantly improved and the rendering system has been upgraded. A 60% increase in FPS has been noted. The balance of power and multiplayer game parameters have been changed. Improvements have been made to the map and scenario editors. Support for achievements have been implemented. Added a section with the history of multiplayer games. Many units have been improved and animation effects have been modernized, the possibilities for developing add-ons have been expanded. You've been listening to Full Circle Weekly News. For more details, see the next issue of the magazine at fullcirclemagazine.org or check the links in the show notes. You can contact me at bardmoss@pm.me. I'll see you next week.